Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to the look. I was waiting on Joel to bring us back. You're like hot. I'm like, oh, God, it's me.
It's amazing how much more space is in the studio right now.
That's true.
Yeah.
And you know what? Doesn't smell.
See. I wasn't going to get after him on his hygiene. I'm talking about
his gas.
Oh, I thought you meant his breath.
Well, that too.
We'll see.
And his hygiene. And his farting. All that.
That part is the funniest.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. You can text us like folks are doing, 713-780-3776. You can call us, 713-780-ESPN. Both are the same numbers. Get at us on Twitter, at the producer Nick, at Barry is funny.
I kind of took over the text line, and it's the hop. The hop is the winner.
Is the hop?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I stopped checking it, but you're getting a whole bunch more coming in.
Somebody said the Sugar Daddy topic was on Isaiah Factor last night. Beth Liebling was on the segment.
Oh, Beth from...
good old Beth from Darling Way.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, she knows what she's talking about.
Youngblood said, old money sugar daddies don't need a website. That's why. Okay.
Okay.
I see you, player.
Well, when I Googled it, Ashley Madison
was... You know a dude is a sugar daddy when his name's Youngblood. What's up, Youngblood? That's a sugar daddy. That's for sure. By the way, Josh Bell, 2-run home run.
Yeah, I mean.
6-0 Pirates. Astros are in full-on struggle mode.
Yeah, it's not a good time for the Astros right now.
On scuffle.
4 in the 1st, 2 in the 3rd, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not good. All right, I teased this before the break, and I don't want to not live up to the tease. But Donovan Mitchell, you know, free agency happens this weekend, Sunday. I think he said 6 p.m. Is that East or Central? I think it's Eastern time.
I believe it's Eastern time.
All right. Donovan Mitchell predicts the landing spots of 12 NBA free agents. They did a whole video, and I was like, yeah, I'm not going through all that and listening to the audio. I just took a screen cap of all of those possible landing spots. And I want to see what you think about some of these. All right. Now, some of these don't care as much, but I'll just read as is here. He thinks KD goes to either the Knicks or the Nets.
Okay. The Knicks, but why the Nets?
I think people think Brooklyn is a player. That's not the only name on this list.
And Jerome mentioned it yesterday. He mentioned the Brooklyn Nets as well.
Well, he said New Jersey because, you know, Jerome gets a lot of stuff wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did. He corrected himself, said Brooklyn. Right. The Nets have been mentioned quite a bit. Now, here's the interesting thing. He's got KD going to the Knicks or the Nets.
Okay.
Doesn't mention Golden State, so he thinks he's out. Now, obviously, KD did opt out of his player option at $31 million, so he's going to test free agency. That doesn't mean he can't sign with Golden State again. He just chose to opt out of his player option. Donovan Mitchell also has Kyrie Irving going to the Nets. So he thinks there's a possibility that there's a KD-Kyrie meetup in Brooklyn.
Every time I read something about the Nets, it makes me believe that they're going to be the surprise team during the offseason, making moves or making a splash that we didn't necessarily expect. Now, right. I expected them to make bigger moves more frequently since their move to Brooklyn, regardless, but it just seems that way. One thing I do like about his list is I totally believe that Clay, like a few of the players that are going to stay with their team. Like, I believe Thompson's going to stay with the Warriors.
Okay.
I believe the Bucks is going to hold on to Brogdon and Middleton.
Okay. I tend to agree. I don't know. I tend to agree about Brogdon and Middleton. I'm not so sure I agree with Clay. I think there's a certain amount of Clay that or there's something in Clay that maybe he wants to see, can he be a 1A guy? Because he was 1B behind Steph for a while, and then he became, you know, really 3 once KD got there, because it was – everybody keeps saying it's Steph's team. True, it might be Steph's team from that regard, but KD was the best player on that team.
Right.
So it was KD, Steph, and then Clay. So he went from 1A to 3, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, he's always said that he wants to stay, but Joel has brought up the fact that, you know, and I know that's probably because he's from Wisconsin, that Milwaukee is a team that he might consider.
Clay might consider.
Yeah, but...
So, it makes sense from a cap perspective. Brooklyn has $66.975 million in practical cap space. By far the most in the NBA for this coming
season. That's a
lot.
That's a lot right now.
The Knicks are second with 59. So, it would stand to reason that both of those teams could sign a Kevin Durant and give him as much money as possible or allowed by the NBA. And they both have the room to do that. All right. Some of the other ones. Where the hell did it go? So we talked Kyrie and KD. You mentioned Clay. Donovan thinks he stays with the Warriors. You mentioned Middleton and Brogdon stay with the Bucks. He thinks Kemba Walker might be a Knick.
See, that would be super interesting. They do have the space. I imagine Kemba's going to be paid. I think that's interesting. And I think, to me, if he thinks that, then I think he thinks that the Knicks are not getting... They're not like
KD.
Yeah, they're not getting a bigger player, like a bigger star player. Like, I think if he really believes that, then he's in the know that the Knicks are not the front runner in getting someone like a Kevin Durant.
Here's what's interesting about the exercise, though. If he started off with KD saying it's either New York or Brooklyn, that's what he thinks, and he's got inside information, then he definitely thinks Kemba's going to New York, and he definitely thinks Kyrie's going to the Nets. That means that both of the New York teams have a shot at KD, but both of them could get that second star that they would want to pair up with KD.
Right.
That would make it interesting. I tell you what, I don't know how you feel, but he also thinks Kawhi stays with the Raptors. Let's play a game for a second. KD and Kawhi end up in Brooklyn. Does that make them the favorite in the East?
I would imagine. I think they both have enough experience to deal with each other's star power. And their touches, the amount of touches that Kevin Durant needs. And I think they're both mature enough and cool-headed enough. I know Kevin Durant hasn't gotten that reputation in recent history, but I think he can work with a guy like Kawhi. So, yeah, I think that would make them the favorite. I think you'd have to be scared of them. Now
if
they do a poor job of surrounding them, then, yeah, maybe they won't be the favorite.
With role players and whatnot. Yeah. They've got some work to do.
But you also saw the report where
Nets... a cap hold on D'Angelo Russell at $21 million.
Okay.
He's got restricted bird rights. They've got some. I think that they still have some work to do because I don't think that's a very deep team. Although they weren't awful last year. I think they finished sixth in the East,
something like that.
A couple games over 500. There's obviously a separation, I think, between them and, you know, the Bucks, Raptors, Sixers, and even Celtics last year. Now, you add two stars, and I think it's a lot different. But if this goes the way you think and Middleton and Brogdon stay in Milwaukee, you still think that the Nets getting KD and Kyrie would be better than Milwaukee? Better than Toronto if Kawhi stays?
I think Milwaukee has proven that they don't have enough around them. I mean, even Bledsoe has not really shown up as much as they thought they would. They thought it was a really good signing when they first signed him, and it's not necessarily a bad signing, but I think they're completely aware that, yeah, you know, they have the guy that they can build around, but they know that they have to add other pieces, whether it's in the form of a star or not. That's yet to be determined, but I don't think you can expect Giannis to kind of take this team to the next level without a little help.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean,
yeah, they definitely need to get him some help. But Milwaukee has about $17 million in cap space for the year, practical cap space.
Middleton and Bledsoe both, I mean, Bledsoe is under contract, but Middleton made is up for contract and he made 13 mil, I would imagine he wants to get paid more.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he'll get it.
Well, they have 17.
So
I don't know that I would give all that to him if you still need to go out and get some other help.
Well, that's a part of the reason why I don't think they'll be – like, if you put those two players on that team, I really think they can put that team on their back. I mean, you're getting a guy – you know how LeBron is kind of a game changer when he goes from one team to the next?
Yeah.
I mean,
KD's that guy.
They're both that guy.
Kyrie?
Kyrie's kind of a game changer.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I think Kyrie is one of the better players in the NBA. I just feel like when it comes to leadership, that's where he struggles. I don't think he displayed the kind of leadership he should have in Boston. That team looked like it was ready to just annihilate the rest of the NBA. And they never lived up to the hype and to the billing, and that was with Kyrie.
I would agree with that, and maybe KD is not he's more of a star player and not necessarily a leader.
That because that's the difference. LeBron is a leader. He's vocal in the locker room. He's vocal with management. KD, I don't think, is that guy, and Kyrie, I think, is vocal in the wrong way for the wrong reasons.
Well, I would imagine he would take that role at some point, right? Like, if he really decides to leave a team full of stars like the Golden State Warriors and then he goes to New York, I mean, especially if he goes there and...
You have to assume that role is what you're saying?
I would think so.
Yeah.
I would think you can... I mean, Harden
has... You can't just go and be passive.
Harden has been trying to become that leader. People have been giving him credit as a player who's matured and is more vocal, and he's trying to hold players accountable, and he's become a better leader. He was never even close to that in Oklahoma or the first few years he was a Houston Rocket.
That's true.
He was, you know, coined as an introvert that was... not necessarily a guy that was vocal, that he just kept to himself.
You have to learn how to be a leader. I mean, some guys are just natural leaders, and some guys have to learn it. I mean, when you look at this Astros team, for example, that's why they brought in guys like Carlos Beltran and Brian McCann, to teach these young stars how to also be a leader, lead in the clubhouse, lead on the field. And they learned that. Now you see Altuve and Correa stepping up, and Springer, and these guys are the leaders, but they got to be educated by Beltran and McCann in the process. And so you're right. Maybe Kyrie and KD have learned that by being around Steph and Draymond and you know, LeBron.
Or maybe
Kyrie's case.
Yeah, or maybe Kyrie knows he's not necessarily the best leader. Let's give this shot to KD. Let KD be a chance to be a leader, and I'll just kind of be, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'll still be the man, but I won't be the leader. The example that I gave on the Charlie Polillo show when I filled in was Tom Herman. We always think of Tom Herman being this boisterous, very animated person. But when he was with the University of Houston, before he became a head coach, he wasn't that person. You never heard of Tom Herman. When he became the head coach, that's when you saw this personality come out. You know what I mean? And you have to get that role first before you do it.
That's true. Last one on the list before we get out. Jimmy Butler, obviously a name that you're hearing a lot in Houston.
Yep.
Donovan Mitchell didn't list a team. He just said, not Philly. So I think he thinks that Butler is gone. And I like this because you're getting a player's perspective and players talk to each other. And that's why I kind of liked what they did. Not a Brian Windhorst who's getting a quote source. You feel like this guy has agents that he talks to. He talks to execs. He talks to – there's a lot of conversation that a player will have around the NBA and be in the know, to me, way more than a columnist.
But you got to wonder who he upset. Like, I'm only looking
Butler?
At – No, Mitchell.
Oh, Mitchell. Yeah.
For revealing all this. You know
true,
what I mean?
True.
So it makes you wonder, is he trolling or is he really revealing some inside information that perhaps players could be upset about? It does make you wonder because, I mean, the only thing I'm going by is the screenshot. I don't even know where you got the screenshot. I'm assuming you got
from a video I have to go back and find it.
Okay. I mean, that's interesting.
It was a legitimate source.
No, I believe your source is legitimate. I'm just saying, like, you got to wonder what his motivation, what his incentive is behind it.
Right. All right. So, speaking of that. Revealing inside information. When we get back, let's talk a little bit about Andre Iguodala's appearance on The Breakfast Club, because not only did he come out and say one thing that goes on behind the scenes in the NBA, not only did he say two significant things, he revealed three different things that I think would make a lot of jaws drop and ears perk up. So we'll discuss that and a whole lot more. This is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. It's The Usual Suspects. No Joseph. He is on vacay. He'll be back next Wednesday, July 3rd. Holding it down. P.O.P. hold it down. That's still one of my favorite things. One of my favorite memes of all time.
P.O.P. holding it down?
Yeah. You remember that chick?
No.
She was getting arrested and she was crying. And they were putting it in the back of the car. And she was like, they said I'm the getaway driver. I'm legally blind. I can't even see. And then they put her in the car. She's like, P.O.P., hold it down. She tried to get all gangster right in the middle of crying as she's getting arrested. She's like, I didn't do it, mama. I love you, mama. P.O.P., hold it down.
No, that's hilarious.
Oh, it's outstanding. We got to play the clip. It's so funny.
I'll find it.
You don't even need to see it. She's legally blind. They said I was a getaway driver.
Well, yes, you
legally
were.
Blind and blind is two different things, right?
Absolutely.
Like, can you still see? I wonder if you're legally blind. I don't know.
You can see.
I don't know if you can drive. Can you drive? I mean,
because I think your eyesight could be so bad that you're legally blind, but it could still be corrected.
Good enough to. Okay.
I would imagine
that could be. All right, but we're here. 713-780-3776. Call us, text us, however you want to reach out to us. A lot of texts coming in about, like you said, the hop being the spot for the sugar mamas. Somebody said there's a girl in Vegas. I can't think of her name or find her. You can find her on Instagram or Facebook. She's a stripper, but all she does is eat pizza on stage, and people come to that. I think her name is Lily Moon.
Interesting.
What? Is that true? Now I'm going to have to Google Lily Moon and see. Look.
Oh, my gosh. She really is.
Is she fat? I haven't even looked
yet.
No,
she's not. She's not fat, and there's cash all over the place, and she's literally leaning up against the pole, sitting down, eating a pizza with cash all around her. That's the picture that I'm looking at.
I see it now.
On theblast.com.
I'm on Bustle. I found it on Bustle.com. What on earth? Listen. I love pizza, and I love boobies, but you are not getting my money if you sit your ass on stage and eat pizza. I can go to any CC's or Little Caesars and watch somebody eat a pizza. I'm not giving you my stripper dollars for pizza.
And apparently she just did it to be funny, and then it just became a hit. It was like an accidental hit. And
what on earth?
So people are interested in weird things. Very weird things.
I do know that there's dudes out there that are like, they're not even chubby chasers like you. Like, they like women.
Like, oh yeah, like big women?
Like
massive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
I know that. Yeah.
400-500 pound women.
Yeah.
And they like to watch them eat. There was a meme/porn thing back in the day where this chick was sitting there like eating McDonald's, and that was like from a porn site. Like, people, I don't understand that.
I don't get that either. I don't get that. But everybody,
that ain't my thing, but everybody's got their own thing.
Yeah, I remember watching.
I would say I don't judge. I judge.
Oh, but it's funny.
I'm totally
too.
Judging. It's disgusting.
Well, they're like on a reality show. The one I saw, like his girlfriend was really big, and they're into they're swingers, I guess, and they're welcoming another woman in bed, but she would suggest a girl, and the girl would never be fat enough.
What?
Yeah, and she would be pretty big, and he would be like, she's not thick enough, not thick enough.
Now, was the girl fat herself?
Massive. She was massive. And he was not nearly as big as she was.
And
this is a reality show.
He wanted another big girl, bigger than the big girl he had.
Yeah.
By the way, I just want to point out what I meant by disgusting is watching people eat.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to point that out.
That's probably a good thing to do. Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay you to eat.
Even if you're hot, I don't want to. No.
And by the way, the worst people to watch eat are old people. Oh my God.
Why? What do
That'll
they
make
do?
You vomit. It's just like,
it's just a mess.
Yeah, it's just, it's awful. Never watch old people eat. It'll make you so sick.
Well, you go to Luby's with a lot of them old people and eat a lot, so you would know. I don't know.
I meant like, yeah, if I bring food, don't watch me eat. This is what I'm saying. It's gross. It's a mess. Anyways, so this was a reality show? Like a dude.
I
want to
say it was
girl.
On MTV, and they're following this couple. The dude in the relationship was significantly smaller than the girl. The girl is open to having other women in bed. And every time he suggested, like, they would go out.
She's
and
not big enough.
This was all on camera. It's like, how about this one? How about that one? And he would say, no, that's she's not big enough.
There
she's
are four words I've never said in my life. She's not big enough. I've never uttered those four words. And I don't mean utter. That wasn't a pun. That wasn't a cow pun. Utters. I've never said she's not big enough. Even when I was like single and like, I'm going to try to take a chick home tonight. Nope, she's not big enough. What? I can't even, that doesn't register with me. But like you said, everybody has their own fetish. Everybody has their own thing they're into. So some people are into really overweight women.
I'm trying to look up the show. That's why I'm kind of, but
no,
whatever.
No, no, all good.
But whatever.
And by the way, somebody texted and said, what constitutes a sugar mama? I was 18 with a 26-year-old getting it done. Okay. She once gave me a pager. So this is old school. She once gave me a pager with the stipulation that I had to call back within 5 minutes if paged.
Oh, my God.
That doesn't mean she's a sugar mama. That's just a controlling bee.
Yeah, because she's 26.
Like, now, was she paying for everything? Did she buy you clothes? Did she pay your pager bill? Did she pay your whatever bills you had? That's what a sugar daddy does.
And I think there's a lot of people that think, all right, so a lady picked up the tab at the, you know, with a couple of dates, and that makes her your sugar mama. Nope.
No, they got to pay bills. They got to buy you stuff, keep you in nice clothes. That's what sugar daddies do.
Yeah.
And that's what a sugar mama would do. She'd keep, you know, oh, I bought you a new truck. That's what a sugar mama does.
Yeah. A whole truck, huh? You think I can get a truck?
I mean, you got to find you the right sugar mama. If you're serious, I'll help you.
I'm not serious at all.
Why?
I just think that's hilarious.
Why wouldn't you do this?
You're young my pride?
And you're single. What pride could you possibly have?
You're probably right. You're probably right.
At this point, now you want to look get some pride?
Well, I'm just
saying.
Come
on, bro. It's a little late to have pride in yourself
but
now.
It's just, it's just a reach. Like, you're probably right. If you are a sugar mama, it's probably because you're older, not so attractive.
If I wasn't so picky, I would, and single, I would 1,000% go the sugar mama. And you're not picky. I know.
Shut your mouth.
We've had these off-air discussions.
No, that was you painting this picture.
No, we
have
had.
I'm only into fat Latinas.
Bro, no.
That was you.
That was blown way out of proportion.
That was you
just
and
like
Joel.
The women you date. No. This, but I know that you are not a picky person
That's
when it comes
true.
To who you would sleep
That's
with.
That's not true.
Nicholas.
That's not true.
Do not lie to the suspects. We're going to get more into this right after this break. This is Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Mom, I love you. P.O.P. All the time.
90 in the books, 90 still to go. Plenty more of the big show. That's so funny. Mama, I love you. She can't
help me.
She even gave the like kid cry. When they breathe wrong, when they're
tell no other story. I'm innocent. Hey, Mama, I love you. P.O.P. All the time.
You can't be gangster with at the same time. That just doesn't work.
The best thing about this video is that like 10 or 15 seconds into the video, the reporter confuses her for a male. It's pretty funny.
That's my story. I'm sticking to it. I'm innocent.
Come on this way.
Sir, are you from Houston?
Man, I'm from Port Arthur, Texas, and I'm a female.
Sir, are you from Houston? Man, I'm from Port Arthur, Texas, and I'm a female. Well.
Yeah, where was I during this debacle?
Oh, you missed all that,
this is 2014, so it was some time ago.
Absolutely amazing. Love that meme. One of my favorites. P.O.P. Hold it down.
Have you tried to pursue her for the podcast?
I'll be honest with you. I'm overwhelmed with so much stuff. I had to put the 15 on hold.
Oh, I know, because you haven't really talked about it.
Yeah, I had to. But something had to give in everything I've got going on.
Because you got a record deal.
Got a record deal, a TV show. There's a lot of writing that goes on during the week for both of those. Plus, still doing this show and stand up and trying to have a social life with my wife. And yeah, something had to give.
So the podcast is on hold?
Something had to give. And I'm like, all that other stuff pays me. Well, the wife don't pay me, but I mean, you know what she pays. But yes. I had to get rid of something, and I was like, I love doing the podcast, but right now it's not going away. I plan to pick it up at some point when I have more time. Like if once I get the record deal done or with the record recorded, I might pick up the podcast again.
Where are you recording the record again?
I'm hoping to do it at the Hyenas in Fort Worth,
or the album, I should say, because the record is technically one track.
Right.
I always forget.
I mean, I'm the same way. But yeah, I'm hoping that it's going to be recorded at the Hyenas in Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay, because that's a good venue.
Best club in the state, probably one of the better clubs in the South.
In the state, including the improvs?
Absolutely.
Interesting.
I have performed at almost every club at least once in this state, and I can tell you that I've never had even a remotely, like, not even had just a decent set at that club. Every show at that club is killer.
Let me ask you this, though. Why, when you go, like, at the Hyena, is it Hyenas?
Hyenas.
At the Hyenas, why, like, do they have, like, at the Improv, when I went to go see Maj Jobroni, we, I guess, didn't get there early enough, and so we had the seats that we could potentially share, which I don't mind.
With another table?
Right. Sitting at the same table, basically, four people.
Yeah.
The only problem I have is that this table feels like it's a foot wide and a foot long. It's tiny.
Yeah.
Why are they? Okay, I don't mind sharing tables. Can I get a bigger table?
That's
no leg room.
No.
And I felt like I was sitting in front of the person because we came in late and they got the good seats, so we had the bad seats.
You think I'm a germaphobe and not a people person, like that want to be around other people because they're disgusting? Nora is a million times worse than me.
So she wouldn't sit.
So we went to the Improv to see Andy Huggins open for Brian Regan, who I love. Brian Regan, that dude's hilarious. And they put us at we shared a table, and I thought Nora was going to leave. I really, like, she was like, nope, I'm not. And you're right, there's not a lot of room, but I think they're trying to maximize their profit and effort. Oh my goodness, I'm sorry. I just got interrupted.
Oh my God, is this
by
7-0?
The Bad News Bears? I mean the Astros. That was just awful. Anyway,
the TV's behind me, so I can see you got a better view of this disaster.
Oh, God, it's so ugly right now for the Houston Astros. It's just awful. The Hyenas is like that as well. You'll share a table. Now, their tables are a little bit bigger. But if you're a party of two and it's sold out and there's another party of two, they're going to put you guys in a four-top together. That's just how it goes.
I mean, if you're going to be that small, don't sell food and just do drinks and, like, spread it out in a way where you can still have elbow room and leg room. It's
well,
just so weird.
You got to remember, though, they're not expecting you to go for necessarily to treat it like a dinner. You treat it more like have a snack and a drink, you know, like have an appetizer and a drink. That's really more of what it should be like. But some people will get after it and treat it like it's, you know, they won't eat. They'll go eat at the club. I always say your best bet, eat before the club, buy two drinks. If you want to save the most money.
I would say that.
The most time and trouble and all that.
And then if you're really hungry or if you're, you know, fat ass like myself, get like an appetizer.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Cheese sticks or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. I forget where we were going to go.
I don't remember either. We were just talking about the the POP holding it down.
Right. And I had something I wanted to bring up before we got to that. Actually, your friendly neighborhood beer salesman said that tell that rookie to sit down with his sugar mama. I was 16 with a 38-year-old. All right. Now we've got competing sugar mama stories.
I'm sure the text line is flooded with.
There's a bunch of them coming in now. So this Andre Iguodala thing when he joined the Breakfast Club is pretty interesting to me.
Yeah.
For a couple of reasons. He kind of spilled the beans and broke the fourth wall of the NBA and talked about a lot of different stuff with the Breakfast Club, which is a show I know you particularly like.
Yeah, I do. I tend to watch it a lot on YouTube.
Basically, if I won't read it to you, but the summary of the first and most important topic, I think, is that Iguodala went on there, and when he was asked about Mark Jackson and why Mark Jackson doesn't have a head coaching job, he said that Mark Jackson has essentially been blackballed by the NBA for his views on gays and gay marriage because of the fact that there is a gay executive, an openly gay executive in the NBA who used to work for the Golden State Warriors.
And interesting.
Yeah, I was trying to find his name. I should have had it. I should have had it. But do you think that it's Rick Welts is the NBA executive? And he said it basically that Jackson obviously came out and had his things and talks about his issues with gays and gay marriage, and that conflicted with, you know, Rick Welts and him being an NBA executive. And so he's essentially been blackballed. Do you believe that? Because I think the counterpoint to that is that could be the case. But also, on the flip side, he was never a great coach. True. He was a good coach. He was decent.
He had the issue with Draymond Green. He didn't want him to start.
He had an issue with Draymond Green. He's talked crap about a lot of people in the NBA before, during, and after his coaching career. And he had a talented team that won a championship the year after he left. Steve Kerr completely flipped that squad once he got there.
Right.
So, you mean, I think they got bounced in the first round of the playoffs in Mark Jackson's last year. Then Steve Kerr comes in and they win the championship. Do you think that it's more because of his views? Because he's very religious, despite the fact that he had a stripper that blackmailed him on the side because he sent nudes to her.
Right.
Do you think that it's more he's being blackballed because he's bad at coaching or because of his views on gay marriage?
If I had to pick one or the other, I would say bad coaching. And some people actually think he got screwed on that deal. I do know that in terms of bad coaching, it wasn't necessarily the right move to kind of not believe in Draymond Green because of his attitude. I can see how that's very difficult to work with. So I don't want to necessarily call him a completely bad coach. But if I had to pick the two, I would say bad coaching, not necessarily because I can list you a bunch of things or a bunch of reasons why he's a bad coach, but I think if it was coming from the NBA, I mean, how is that possible? Like, the only way I would imagine is the NBA didn't like his comments, and they obviously have an influence, and they're telling teams not to hire him. Because at the end of the day, it's up to the NBA team owners
right
to make the hire, not right. the NBA. So if that I feel like it would have to come indirectly. They can't just say, we're not going to hire you because of your comments of.
Yeah, I mean, that's not something that you're going to see a memo go out. But
right.
I think, you know, the understanding might be, hey, that guy's views are vastly different than the image we want to portray
but
as an organization.
But isn't he on the TNT broadcast? I would imagine the NBA has influence on the TNT. And
I think it's ESPN.
Yeah, so like, because the multi-billion-dollar deal that allowed the salary cap to go up so much initially was the ESPN TNT deal,
right?
And he's been on the broadcast before.
That's the interesting part. If he was blackballed from the NBA, I doubt that they would let him call games, right?
Right, right.
So I wonder if it's just if it's not really blackballed, if it's just like a gentleman's agreement. We won't hire this dude anymore.
Maybe. It could be.
And that's being blackballed, but it's not being completely shunned by the NBA. It's just like, we won't give this guy a position of power as a coach anymore in the NBA.
Right. And look, maybe the reason why I can see kind of an argument for him being blackballed is the fact that he's relevant. He's been on the broadcast. He's around teams and players. And a lot of times that's what it takes for you to get a head coaching job. And he hasn't been able to do that. We talk about guys all the time, even, you know, Joel's buddy, Mario Elie. we've lobbied before for him to become a head coach. And how many times have we said that we think he should get an opportunity to become a head coach? And he's not. But Mario Elie's not on a national broadcast as much as Mark Jackson. He got he's super.
He's got an audience.
And that's not to say Elie's not relevant. I'm just saying that he's always around NBA teams, and he's always on a broadcast, and he's always on some sort of platform where there's a lot of exposure, and yet he can't get a job as an NBA head coach. And that's not, we don't even know if he's not trying. Like, maybe he's trying, maybe he's not. I would imagine he wants to get back into coaching.
Yeah.
But.
Well, he did sign a long-term deal. But the exact quote from Iguodala, Charlamagne the God asks, do you think Mark Jackson was blackballed from the NBA? Iguodala responds, I do, yes. Charlamagne says, really? Iguodala says, absolutely. So, again, you hear it from a player with probably a lot more inside knowledge than everybody else. Yeah. But that's interesting to me, man.
I mean, I think that happens. People get blackballed for a various amount of reasons behind closed doors that we will never know. I think that happens.
True.
I think that happens. But in this particular case...
This is going to draw a lot of ire from our listeners, and I'm probably going to get a lot... But Kaepernick was essentially blackballed from the NFL.
Right. I mean...
He was not allowed... No one wanted to give him an opportunity because of what was... Because of the off-the-field stuff.
Because of his actions,
yeah. So, I mean, it does happen. So it wouldn't surprise me, especially in a league with a gay executive. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
All right, we got a lot more because he also talked about the Golden State Warriors and whether they made him play injured or suggested it was he wasn't as injured as he thought, and the state of NBA players and social media. So we'll get to that. I got a lot of non-sports stuff we can talk about. We're going to have a lot of fun. Stick around. This is Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back. It's The Usual Suspects. No Joel today. Barry and Nick with you. Holding it down POP style. I'm a male, not a female. It's weird leading a show, if I'm being honest. I don't like being the leader and dictating where we go every time. Like, I only want my way sometimes. And then I can just, like, not have to talk, and Joel does all the work, and then I just say funny things. I like that a lot better. I'm not really down with leading a show. I don't feel like that's my specialty.
I kind of like you as the second voice as well. Not that you can't do it.
Are you saying I'm sucking today?
No,
is that what you're saying? That I'm doing
like
a terrible job?
Kind of like AJ is with Fred. That's all.
It's awkward when AJ leads the show.
It is. Is it not? Well, yeah.
It's awkward.
It's awkward, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. And so I get that that's probably the same thing that's going on now. Somebody said that this show is like a replay of the bench because they talked about Mark Jackson and Iguodala. Wow, imagine that. Sports talk shows that talk about the headlines. I'll be damned. What a novel concept.
I can assure you I was sleeping in bed.
Yeah.
As much as I love that show.
As much as I love John and Lance, I ain't getting up until 7 o'clock.
I was sleeping and I did not listen to that show.
Nope, not a one. Sorry that we talk about the headlines and what goes on in the sports world. That's just how sports works. Sorry, sir and or ma'am. POP, hold it down. Hey, let's do a giveaway real quick. Shall we do that? Let's give something to the peeps.
We shall.
And then we'll keep it rolling here. If you're looking for something fun to do this summer, Rooftop Cinema Club is the ultimate open-air film experience. That sounds kind of cool. Enjoy awesome food and craft cocktails on the rooftop at sunset with comfy deck chairs and personal headphones so you can enjoy iconic movies under the stars uninterrupted. We'll do this call. Do we have an intern or is it you? We have an intern? All right, caller number, let's do caller number 14. We'll give the app folks a chance. Caller number 14, 713-780-3776. That's 713-780-3776. You are going to win a pair of lounge seat tickets plus popcorn to see Pulp Fiction on July 8th. To check out their full program and book tickets, just go to rooftopcinemaclub.com. That's rooftopcinemaclub.com. Caller 14. Good luck. That sounds pretty cool.
That does sound cool. I've never been.
I just watched Pulp Fiction completely for the first time not too long ago.
Good movie, isn't it?
Really good movie. And I don't know what took me so long to get there, but that would be a cool movie to go see and an experience like that.
Yeah.
Pretty dope. Cowboys fans have to be gloating right now.
Why?
So this is some nerd, some science nerd, some dude, Dr. Mike Lewis, used a bunch of witchery and science and numbers and statistics and all this other stuff to come up with a formula to rank fan bases. And he said that the teams, the five franchises with the strongest, what he calls brand equity factor. He basically said brand equity factor is how you could determine the best teams and fan bases. There's the overall rank. There's the fan equity rank. There's the social equity rank. There's the road equity, which means if you went to a game.
Travel well.
Yeah. If you went to Jacksonville, how many Texans fans would be there? That's their road equity. And then, so you factor all that in and you come up with an overall ranking. This is basically his way of saying, who's the best franchise? What is America's team? What team does God love?
Tebow loves.
I hate to say this.
It's the Cowboys?
The Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
He has them ranked number one overall in fan in overall rank and fan equity, second in road equity, and third in social equity.
Is Dr. Lewis from Dallas?
That's a good question.
Because that would make this report null and void. I don't know what you're looking at. I haven't seen it. You didn't share it with me, or you might have put it on the rundown.
It's
in the
rundown.
So yeah.
It surprised me though that they were up there. I mean, I guess it shouldn't, but your New England Patriots are number two overall. Eagles are number three. Hmm. And still, the New York Giants are fourth on this list. I don't know how that's possible, as bad as the Giants have been. But okay. The Steelers are five. Packers are six. I would have thought the Packers would have maybe been fourth instead of the Giants.
I would make that argument, too. I would think the Packers would be ranked higher for sure, considering that's all there is to do there.
And if you're wondering where your beloved hometown Houston Texans reside on the list, 21.
I was going to say 25, but whatever.
21. And for a football town, for a football state, for a town that claims we love football so much, even though we lost a team, we are 21 on this list. No. They have the Texans ranked 21 overall, 14 in fan equity, which isn't bad. That's middle of the pack. 12th in social equity, and dead on last in road equity. So you always hear about, in fact, I don't know who it was, but somebody got on me when I talked about the fans and football and the Texans in this city, and somebody jumped my ass about, oh, no, we travel great. There's Texas fans all over the state and the country when the games are going on. Really? Because according to this, dead ass last. And it probably has to do with ticket sales or something. I don't know.
But it seems like, so road equity, is it less is better, I would imagine?
No, the higher the road equity. Like if you
got,
if
you're a one. The Cowboys are two.
Yeah, the Eagles are one. So that means that the Cowboys had the second highest road equity. The second highest. Their fans travel better or they have
that's
more
the
fans.
Oh, never mind. I see what you're saying now.
They have more fans around the country and other football cities that go to games when the Cowboys are in town. They're the second highest. The only team that's higher right now is the Eagles.
It's insane to me.
Yeah, and the Texans are, there's less Texans fans than any other on the road. Kind of makes sense for a couple of reasons, though. I'll tell you. One, obviously newest franchise.
True.
In the NFL. Two, Houston is a city where people move to.
Transplant
not from.
City.
Yes.
Melting pot.
So you get a lot of other fans that move here. And even though I'm born and raised here, not a lot of people necessarily leave Houston. Right. I feel like people leave other cities and come here for jobs and oil and whatnot.
And not just medical industry. So you got international people as well consuming.
That's right. So I that may explain some of the down numbers for the fan base. But for a football city, didn't show too well. You would expect a football city to be a lot higher.
Yeah, but how many of those teams are you surprised are ahead of the Texans?
Bro, they lost to the Jets. The Jets are ranked higher. That's awful. The Bills, the lowly ass Buffalo Bills are higher on this list.
But there's right. And there's like four or five that I but all the other like the Bills, maybe the Panthers, right?
Yeah.
The Jets, like you mentioned. The Dolphins, the 49ers, maybe.
The rest of the teams on that list, I think, of the teams above the Texans. The only ones that surprised me where it's like, ooh, that stings a little, is like you said, the Jets and the Bills, the Panthers, and the Dolphins, though, I mean, you've got the perfect streak or the perfect season and all that. There's some history with the Dolphins. With
right,
Shula,
but there's a lot of teams on there.
Marino.
That I'm not surprised about. Like, maybe the Dolphins, but the Cowboys, the Patriots, the Eagles, the Giants, the Steelers, the Packers.
Right.
All those teams I'm not surprised about.
Right. I think the ones that do surprise me the most ahead of the Texans is Bills, Jets, and I'll go ahead and say Panthers.
So that's four or three
yeah.
that you're surprised about.
And then, you know, Lions, Bucks, Vikings, Cards, Chargers, Browns. How the Browns aren't last, I have no idea.
Yeah.
The worst on this list, the Rams.
Yeah, well, attendance was terrible. That must have killed them.
Second worst on this list, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, Mahomes didn't like that.
That surprised me more than anything.
Yeah.
How are the Chiefs the second worst on this? They got 29s in all the major categories, fan equity, social equity, and road equity.
Hmm.
Wow. That's surprising. All right, we got 2 hours in the books, 1 hour to go of the big show. We'll be back right after this. This is the Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.